coming up?
The ass end of a baby camel.
Well, I wonder what kind of shtick I'm going to bring to it.
It ebbs and flows.
When's my next novel coming out?
Pass it off as nothing.
The music of the accent.
I mean, I've been the back end of a cow before now.
Oh, we go back to tapes.
How do you say that?
And it doesn't matter what we say in the gaps.
Everything about that script was complicated, right?
Oh, patience and consistency.
Well, I can tell you a thing or two about that.
I've toned myself down this week.
It sucks and gets in the way sometimes, doesn't it?
Ooh, very nice, Mark.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
How do you say that?
How do you say that?
How do you say that? Hello, welcome along to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Over there is my co-host Samantha Boffin.
Hello.
Hello.
And here is my co-host Mark Rice.
Well, hello. This is the performance podcast for voice actors, where we talk to different voice actors every week, play around with some scripts,
and discover there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots and lots of different ways. Mm. So, Mark, true or false?
Ooh.
My favourite sci-fi movie is Donnie Darko.
Interesting. I know about Donnie Darko, but I've never actually seen it.
I know, it's on my list.
It's on my list. I've got so many on my list. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to pluck it out of the air and say, yes, it is your favourite movie.
Well, it is, but I think my reaction to the fact that you hadn't watched it kind of gave that away.
Yeah,
it's
a little bit.
Brilliant movie, Donnie Darko.
I'll definitely have it on the list then. That's good. Mine is a bit more pedestrian, my fun facts. I do love a hot cross bun. And if I'm not stopped, I could eat a whole pack of hot cross buns in an evening. True or false?
I can see you eating a full pack in an evening, Mark Rice.
I'm going to shout true on that. Absolutely. I just love them. I love them. Not very diet friendly, it has to be said.
Not diet friendly.
There we go.
But very nice.
Yes,
very nice.
Totally.
Yeah. With lots of butter?
If possible, but I better not admit to that. Let's welcome our special guest. It's voice actor Stephanie Cannon. Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm good.
Hi, Stephanie.
It is lovely to have you along. Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Stephanie, shall we?
Absolutely. So Stephanie is a UK-based American voice actor, motion capture performer and stilt walker. Trained in theatre since she was little. She's still quite little, actually, I'll be honest. But trained in theatre since she was little. She's been a voiceover for 15 years and has narrated more than 250 audiobooks in just about every genre.
She also performs regularly in video games and animation and is known for her wide range of characters, accents and creatures. She recently appeared in Fortnite as Kitsune the Fox, can be seen in Eiyuden Chronicles as Sabine, and is currently recording an exciting YA series for Yoto Player. That's young adult, by the way. Welcome to the podcast, Stephanie. Have you got a fun fact for us?
I do. So as a stilt walker, I once performed as the ass end of a baby camel. And this was in a massive stadium for the 40th birthday of the UAE. So this was a stadium in Abu Dhabi.
Oh,
gosh.
It was something else.
I bet it was.
That's quite terrifying. I mean, I've been the back end of a cow before now. No comments necessary. But the idea of being the back end of a camel on stilts.
Yeah, they were quite short stilts because they wanted it to be realistic. They only wanted a teeny bit of bounce. They were bouncy stilts.
Yeah.
But they wanted just that realistic, really realistic camel movement.
Yes.
So they were probably the shortest stilts I've ever been on.
Nonetheless.
But it was the pressure because we were the opening characters for this, and it's like Olympic ceremony caliber kind of event. So there were like 40,000 people in the audience, and you're like, okay, don't mess this up, don't mess this up, left, right, and you're thinking. And then, but when we first came out, the camels are so cherished in the UAE that there was like a standing ovation already just to see us.
Wow,
how exciting!
It was really special, actually.
Oh.
So it's true to say you didn't get the hump as we look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
So this is a little script I brought along. It's an audio drama.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know quite what it was. I wondered if it might have been an audio book. It makes more sense as an audio drama.
I had the same thought and I was like, ooh, I could play this as an audio drama. And after I did it and it really worked, I went, hang on a second, I think this is an audio drama. That's why that really worked.
Yes.
And what kind of character are we talking about here?
I am a writer.
Yes.
And I have been summoned to a police station because my book has created chaos in the world.
Ooh.
So I'm being interviewed at this point.
And is it a particular accent or style or person?
Nope. I suppose within this scene, she thinks she has got the upper hand at the beginning. And it ebbs and flows. But obviously the police inspector thinks they're in the right anyway.
Any questions, Stephanie, before we have a go?
Well, no, I'm kind of tempted not to ask too many questions and then to see where it takes us, I guess.
Because everyone would be a different writer.
So yes, indeed.
In many ways, it doesn't matter who is cast in this part or as the inspector either. You all bring your own shtick to it, as it were.
Yes, literally your own shtick. Well, I wonder what kind of shtick I'm going to bring to it. I'm going to bring a pencil shtick. It's all about a pencil, in case you haven't read it. Let's give it a go. let's see before we get too ahead of ourselves. All right. If you want to know, Inspector, I write longhand with a pencil. And as I was sharpening my pencil, the idea came to me, and I wrote this. Look how gracefully these pencil shavings tumble like falling leaves, now on the table and now on the floor. What a deliberate and destructive process this is. And if, for any reason, there was ever a whole world inside a pencil, this would be the surest way to bring that world to an end.
I like how you were really more comfortable with the inspector and with yourself and your ideas than I was expecting. You didn't seem challenged by being brought into the station at all.
I think a little bit arrogant, trying to pass it off as nothing.
Yeah, you seemed totally pleased with everything that you've written and everything that you've got to say in this room. And I quite liked that. It wasn't how I was picturing it, so it was good, but it worked.
Absolutely. The interesting thing is that the end bit, so you infused all of it with sort of humanization and so forth, which was lovely. But because of the writing, she writes, and the latter half of this little speech, if you like, is her simply quoting from her book. So not so much humanization in that bit, probably, because she's not remembering it. She's literally reading it out loud.
Sure, that makes sense.
That would be the only bit of feedback that I would, the only bit that I noticed.
I wondered as I was doing it, though, whether they were defending what they had written at that point. Maybe.
Absolutely. And literally, in many ways, it doesn't matter. We're bringing choices to this.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you're right, though, Steph. He was very comfortable at that point with the inspector. And it depends how you want to play it, exactly. So.
Yeah.
Yes, because you could be a lot more frightened. You could be a lot more timid of what the whole situation is, I guess.
Yeah, very much so.
Do you fancy a go, Stephanie?
I would love to.
Phew. Otherwise, it would fall apart at this
point. It's a very short show otherwise. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. If you want to know, Inspector, I write longhand with a pencil. And as I was sharpening my pencil, the idea came to me. And I wrote this. Look how gracefully these pencil shavings tumble like falling leaves. Now on the table and now on the floor. What a deliberate and destructive process this is. And if, for any reason, there was ever a whole world inside a pencil, this would be the surest way to bring that world to an end.
Nice.
I very much got the sense that you were reading and the little clear of the throat before actually starting to read. I thought, it worked really nicely.
Yeah. I never thought of doing that, actually. And I think on balance, that's a really nice way of doing that, I think. I also think it worked incredibly well in an American accent.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Really well.
Yep.
Yeah, the script is nice and neutral in that way, I thought.
Yeah, so there was a slight, deliberately, she felt slightly nice and arrogant, but at the same time, slightly at the beginning, look, I need to explain myself here.
Yes.
So I really loved that part of it. Yeah.
I thought that came across really nicely, the I'm going to explain myself. Yes, it really did.
but I'm not pleased about you wasting my time and having to.
Indeed, absolutely.
Good. Yeah, no, I really liked it. I thought it was lovely. And you came, you're a very believable writer.
The Authority, I was like, yeah, when's my next novel coming out? I'm good at this.
This is where Sam shows us something that she did and we go, oh.
No, honestly, it isn't. It's just like, it's, I was fascinated by these because in that sort of setup, police inspector and writer, almost anyone could, do you know what I mean? The interesting thing is there's no set idea about what these two people are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so the casting could be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait.
If you want to know, Inspector, I write longhand with a pencil. And as I was sharpening my pencil, the idea came to me and I wrote this. Look how gracefully these pencil shavings tumble like falling leaves, now on the table and now on the floor. What a deliberate and destructive process this is. And if for any reason there was ever a whole world inside a pencil, this would be the surest way to bring that world to an end.
Yeah, it was same. I really believed you as the writer. I could picture your sort of beginning, middle, and end of your career. It was really like well fleshed out. Yeah, and you seemed more. I liked how much more grounded it was than mine. You didn't. It was like sort of that perfect balance between mine and Mark's, where you were a little bit. You know, you're not trying to make friends with this guy, but your confidence was really rooted and it wasn't trying to, like, prove itself.
You were quite pointed right at the beginning. So, if you want to know, Inspector, very much like you're a bit of an ass, actually.
Well, it's mid-argument. So he has said, you know, he's accused me of something, and that's why you kind of come in on the bounce. Well, if you want to know this... Yep. This is the point. So it's in the middle of an argument, this.
Yeah. And that came across nicely. But the change between the exchange with the inspector and then reading from the book was very obvious.
We kind of worked on picking up the book at that point, and but obviously we did that in pickups afterwards. But we imagined that.
Sure.
We imagined that, because there's this book between us. He reads from it, I read from it.
Got you. So the to and fro was there.
Play How Do You Say That?
It is worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we're working on. We've changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And remember, you can find both the scripts that we're using today in the show notes of the episode.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm fascinated by your script, Steph, because, there's a lot of questions I've got about it. So tell us a little bit about it.
Questions too, indeed.
So this one is from a book called Away with Words, Away, as in one word, away. It's by Sophie Cameron, and it's a YA that's about this 11-year-old girl who's been uprooted from her home, and she's been forced to start in a new school, in a new country, and English, she speaks some English, but it's very much her second language. She's not super confident with it. It's got a fantastical element in that in this parallel universe, when people speak, visual words come out of people's mouths.
I was going to ask, because in the original PDF that you sent us of this, there are some words that are highlighted, there are some words that are in a different font, there are some words that are bigger than others that we
some
can't necessarily
kind of floating.
Show on our page. But exactly, so that we have two specific phrases within the script as we have written it out. So Gala is very, don't know what's happening there. How do we interpret that?
So as well as the words that are coming out of people's mouths, especially in the early bit of her story, and this is unusual for an audiobook, but what they did with this one is because she's trying to get to grips with English, the writer wanted us to be along with her in the journey. And so there are words that are taken out. More complicated words that she doesn't understand yet in English are omitted from the dialogue. And so if she doesn't understand it, we don't get it either. So what they've done in the final version is I've spoken the dialogue and then they've manipulated it in the audio and made it and muffled it so she can sort of hear it, but it's nonsensical. So in those two blanks, you can basically say whatever you want, whatever gets you there, knowing that in the final version, they really play with it. And so unlike usual audiobooks, it has some sound effects and some audio manipulation. So it's fun. I think just as long as the accent you choose is not from an English-speaking country, then you're good.
That makes it more complicated, Sam, doesn't it?
The narrator themselves has a foreign accent.
Yes. So this is her very first day at school, and she's basically being given the walkthrough introduction. She's there with her dad. So the dad is the one who has the dialogue.
It's the girl talking as the narrator then.
Yeah. So the girl is the narrator, and her dad is the one who speaks in those two bits of dialogue.
And it doesn't matter what we say in the gaps.
No, just as long as it works for you.
Okay.
I'm really happy you're going first, Sam. Because I've got a bit of a mind blank on it. I don't know if what we have described is making sense, but I'm a bit scared of this one.
Okay. I'm slightly nervous. I am needing to get into some sort of accent then, some sort of... Okay. Beside me, Papa's mad. Okay. I kind of do... Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do for an accent, actually. No, because that's totally... I'll do something. Okay, right, okay. Beside me, Papa smiled and nodded. Gala is very wary of life, he said, putting his hand on my shoulder. His voice slipped into that funny up-and-down thing it always did when he spoke English, as if his vocal cords were riding a carousel. I am sure the incubus and I will be happy here. The word happy caught on the collar of Papa's jacket. It was... a light blue lie. I wasn't happy to be here. I didn't want to be in Scotland at all.
Oh, well, you brought it to life.
Oh, I really
Stephanie.
Liked that version. It was good. It made it sort of less like a YA and more like a historical fiction, where maybe, it totally worked. Maybe if you just aged her up and aged Papa up, but it was like the same relationship, just maybe like another generation along. I really liked it.
It's interesting because, of course, I have a much deeper voice than you. So it's interesting. I'm not the first choice for young adult fiction. I have done it, but I'm not the first choice for it. So it's very interesting that I aged it up.
But it's like, you know, this is totally out of context. The script is just like, you know, thrown at you. And so it's not meant to be, you know, what it actually is in the finished product. But what you made it into, I thought really worked. And the sort of wariness that she has. I really felt the relationship between the two of them.
It was very interesting putting in extra words into something that had nothing on the page.
I know.
I just sort of thought, I don't even know what I said, I'll be honest with you.
I'm thinking of doing that a slightly different way. That's the choice that I have made, but I'm really not sure of the accent style.
So I suppose in audiobook land, we would always just, you know, take it back. So even if it's just the music of the accent, you know, just if you're worried about it going too hammy, then just dial it back a little bit. And if we get the essence, then that's enough. That's always enough.
Okay, well, I'll give something a go.
You're going to be great.
Beside me, Papa smiled and nodded. Gala is very... he said, putting his hand on my shoulder. His voice slipped into that funny up-and-down thing it always did when he spoke English, as if his vocal cords were riding a carousel. I am sure you're happy here. The word happy caught on the collar of Papa's jacket. It was a light blue lie. I wasn't happy to be here. I didn't want to be in Scotland at all.
Wow.
That was really lovely.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what came out there.
Beautiful things. I'm really loving what different worlds everyone's creating with this little bit of text. It's nice. And again, like, it felt like in a different setting than in a school, on a first day of school, mm-hmm. but that sort of doesn't matter. And there's like a really lovely gentleness.
I mean, I have to say, the first day of school thing went completely out of my head. So that's fair enough to say that.
There was a lot more to be thinking about.
I was so worried about everything else.
Yeah, it's very interesting, actually, that part of it. I was thinking first day of school, but back home before they've even left. But actually, if you set it at the school gates, as they're just about to go in, that's a different thing altogether. Is that where it's set?
Kind of at the school gates. Sorry if I didn't make that clear.
No, you did. I was just, my interpretation was interesting.
And the accent was really lovely too.
I'm not sure what accent it was.
It sort of doesn't matter. Because it was consistent and you believed it.
Yes.
And that's all that matters.
Okay.
If you were doing 300 pages of it, you might need to, you know, make sure that, that you do know where it is.
100%. Yes.
In real life. But
that is a great point.
I was very convinced.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm pleased.
Mark not saying any words to be, sort of...
I twizzled them out already.
Yeah. Mm. Is that problematic or would that be okay?
I think that would have worked. I mean, on the day I said real words, just because at that stage, they weren't even sure how they were going to be doing it. And so I think they wanted to, you know, they were going to leave it up to the editors and the engineers, like, at a later stage. Yeah. So I filled in what I thought they might have been saying. But, you know, it wasn't, there was nothing exact. So it was still my own interpretation.
I'm waiting with bated breath to hear what you did with it, because it could go in a whole bunch of different directions, Sam, I think, couldn't it?
For sure. I mean, I suspect it'll be a lot lighter than either of us made it, but I may be wrong.
Yeah,
and that I'm just going off Stephanie's voice, actually. But yeah, anyway.
Okay, let's see. Beside me, Papa smiled and nodded.
Gala is very bright and dedicated, he said, putting his hand on my shoulder.
His voice slipped into that funny up-and-down thing it always did when he spoke English, as if his vocal cords were riding a carousel.
I am sure she will be very happy here.
The word happy caught on the collar of Papa's jacket. It was a light blue lie. I wasn't happy to be here. I didn't want to be in Scotland at all.
Wow.
I loved that.
Yes.
Oh, you got so much emotion in that part of it. So I could see that little girl. That's amazing. That was really good, Steph.
Yeah.
A tough accent.
Yes.
That, I mean, such a brave accent to do and be really comfortable with.
Yeah, well, it's one of my faves. I love doing Spanish accents. And so, you've got the idea. They've come from Cadaqués in Spain. And but the story is set in Scotland. Mm. And Scottish is one of my other favorite accents I got to do.
Lucky.
And so the whole book, it very rare for me, but there's not a single American appears ever. So it was just, light Spanish narration and then a combination of Scottish and Spanish dialogue.
Well, there are the two scripts. And as we head towards the wild card, I'm not quite sure where we go with it in this particular episode. We've got to approach these scripts in a very different way.
Absolutely. So, Steph, can you pick one of the scripts and give one of us a new idea, a new motivation, a new character, something different to do with it?
Let's see. Sam, for script number 2, I was wondering if you could sell this as like a lighthearted advert for an amusement park or something like that.
A lighthearted advert for an amusement park. Okay. Sorry, which script was it?
Script number 2.
Script
number 2. you can do it in your own accent.
Okay.
This time.
Okay. So a lighthearted advert for an amusement park.
I'm very happy with you, Stephanie, because like the last 4 guests have picked me first. So.
Okay. Let me have a little think about this. Okay. Beside me, Papa smiled and nodded. Gala is very wicked, he said, putting his hand on my shoulder. His voice slipped into that funny up-and-down thing it always did when he spoke English, as if his vocal cords were riding a carousel. I am sure Jennifer will be happy here. The word happy. Caught on the collar of Papa's jacket, it was a light blue lie. I wasn't happy to be here. I didn't want to be in Scotland at all.
The dichotomy of I wasn't happy to be here, said it with such joy, was fascinating.
That was the inspiration. I was like, well, you know, we've had someone who was very unhappy. Let's see if we can lighten the script up. And you did it wonderfully.
And so. It's so funny when the words don't match. Yeah. The style that's coming out. But I love that about the wild card.
That was great, Sam.
I must admit, it's funny because when an ad has a particular kind of rhythm to it, doesn't it? And it's often written in a particular rhythm. So it's very difficult to sort of approach that in that way.
You had to counter your sort of instinct
so
there.
It's, yeah,
effortless. Wild. You did it very smooth. And I would love to visit that amusement park now.
Hooray! Mm. Just come and ride on our carousel.
All right, Stephanie, I'm going to get you to be a baker. A very early morning baker in a bakery, and you make lots and lots of bread, and you are kneading the bread before it goes in the oven. So you're giving it some real pow. And I'm going to get you to do script one here with this kneading the bread, being a baker in the early morning bakery.
Okay, here we go. If you want to know, Inspector, I write longhand with a pencil. And as I was sharpening my pencil, the idea came to me, and I wrote this. Look how gracefully these pencil shavings tumble like falling leaves. Now on the table, and now on the floor. What a deliberate and destructive process this is. And if, for any reason, there was ever a whole world inside a pencil, well, this would be the surest way to bring that world to an end.
I'm fascinated by the choice of character there.
Well, I love that.
I mean, as soon as you said baker, I just could not leave France. And I was like, we're making baguettes. That's just weird.
you were kneading away, weren't you? I loved it. There were flowery hands going everywhere. What I loved was you broke the phrases up into those small moments while you're kneading the bread. So you it was a
pushing
series of
out.
Short
yes.
Statements, which I really loved.
Yes,
there was
it
a
worked
real
nicely
rhythm
that.
To that. Yeah,
I just wasn't expecting the French lady there. It's like
I mean, neither was I. Neither was I, Mark.
She just emerged.
She took over.
Indeed.
I love it. So, Sam, you have to find one for me now. I dread to think.
No,
I'm
going
you're
to give
gonna
you something actually
me.
Quite nice. Oh, I'm okay. going to give you a clairvoyant. I want you to be a clairvoyant at a seance.
Okay. Right.
With it doesn't really matter which one. I think script one is slightly easier, but maybe not. Now, you can be an OTT clairvoyant. You can be, a sort of, 1930s blithe spirit kind of thing, or you can be very grounded. It's
okay.
Completely up to you. But you're at a seance and there are at least six people with you.
Mm.
Script one.
Script one. All right. Okay. If you want to know, Inspector, I write longhand with a pencil, and as I was sharpening my pencil, the idea came to me, and I wrote this. Oh, look how gracefully these pencil shavings tumble, like falling leaves. Now on the table, now on the floor, what a deliberate and destructive process this is. And if for any reason there was ever a whole world inside the pencil, this would be the surest way to bring that world to an end.
Grounded then, grounded and subtle. A subtle medium.
I thought she was being visited by a lot of different people.
She was.
There was some possession happening.
There was definitely some possession.
I was worried. It was verging on exorcism by the end of it.
For you a little bit.
Yeah.
I was throwing my head back as I brought the other spirits in.
Gosh, I can't wait to see the visuals on that.
Yes,
to be perfectly honest.
I think it might work in my bright pink jumper. Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, whether you're kneading, whether you are channeling or whatever else, as we've said before, we've put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Do have a try.
Indeed.
So now, Stephanie. So tell us a little bit about how important, and we all know how important this is, patience and consistency is in the voiceover industry. I think you've got something very specific that will bring this to life.
Yes. Because you get so many people asking, how can I get into audiobooks? How can I, voice acting in general, right? And they say it as if, maybe if they put their all into it, it might be happening next week or even next month.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to find that balance of like encouraging people and saying, you know, I love my job. And I definitely am a supporter of getting other people into the industry because it's really good. But it's not an overnight thing by any means. Mm. And I think even less so these days because it is pretty competitive. And my very first break, I sent my audio demos, and this is back when they were CDs. I sent my audio...
Oh, we go back to tapes.
I know. Isn't it great? People don't understand what we had to go through.
Yeah. Put up with.
Production-wise, you know, it was costly.
Yes, so, it was, yes.
I sent my CD to pretty much everyone under the sun, mm-hmm. and you know, and some people came back, and I had little bites here and there. But one of my best jobs in audiobook land that came through was from a company called Audio Go, and I had sent them my demo 3 years before.
Really?
I got the email
wow.
from them. So
wow.
they had just had it on file, as people often do. I know they always yeah. say they do, but they really do sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a great story to show that sometimes it actually is true.
Definitely. And so they sent me this email and I said, well, luckily, yes, I am still free.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of really ongoing work with them. It was the company wow. that used to be BBC Audiobooks.
Yes.
And I kind of became their go-to young American voice. And it was the beginning of a great relationship. But, you know, if I had been waiting for that and hoping for it to happen overnight, I would have been sorely disappointed.
Indeed. Patience and consistency is an interesting one, because if you're booked to do a job over a long period of time as well, both patience and consistency are so important in those jobs as well. So it might be that you're back at the recording studio 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later or a month later to do something else in the same vein. Mm. That's both patience and consistency in the work that you've already done.
Completely.
Matching the work that you're going to do. And in animation especially, that can happen a lot.
Yeah, and
definitely.
Also in audiobook series and things like that.
Totally, yes.
Mm. Yeah. And you've always got references to refer back to for
of
characters.
Yep.
And I'm pretty diligent about keeping audio clips within the PDF of mm-hmm. characters.
Yeah.
And I've been cut out before. So even if it's a small character in a series, I will definitely make an audio clip so that I know what their voice sounds like. Because sometimes if there's like 7-8 books in a series, that little, you know, waitress or someone else's younger brother or that farmer or whatever will come back in book 8 and suddenly they're the romance lead.
That's the main character. Yeah, exactly.
And you go, hang on a second, what accent did I give them? Where did
that's so interesting. So you keep the audio reference within, do you use iAnnotate?
I do. Yeah.
So you take the audio reference and you put it against that waitress or whatever it is in the
exactly.
PDF. Do you, I've never thought of doing that.
It's
I make
really
a cast
good idea.
List.
Yeah.
And
it's
one of my
and
favorite go-tos. Yeah.
That's such a good thing to do because you can obviously, I love doing that in iAnnotate, but I've never used it for that. I've usually used it when I'm marking it up to remind me that this is how something's pronounced or, you know.
I use it for that as well.
Put a little reference in. I've never thought of doing that. That's a really good idea.
Brilliant tips and tricks. Stephanie, thank you so much for giving us that. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been an absolute blast.
I'm glad you've enjoyed it.
Thank
Stephanie
you
Cannon's
much.
Details can all be found in the show notes.
Yes, and of course, the scripts are there too. And if you want to see what we all look like in our booths, check out the podcast by searching at HDYST Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. And you can see us in action.
Oh, yes, you can. That's it for this week. Thanks again to Stephanie Cannon. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
How do you say that? How do you say that?